Appreciate the good songs and the instrumentals that was played. It's good to be here tonight. I just, I was standing out in the back before the service started, and Brother Miller standing back there, and Brother Ronnie, and I was looking at the associational minutes, and Brother Miller asked Brother Ronnie if he'd seen me, and I was standing right there. Of course, you know he was referring to my height here, you know, looking over me. Well, you know, I told him, I said, I feel that smile tonight. I need your prayers. And I was looking at my glasses a while ago, Brother Wheat. You know, and I let you borrow them from time to time during Sunday school. I do that for a purpose. Not that you need them, but I hope some of your smartness will rub off on them when I get them back. But it ain't worked yet, but I continue to give them to you. It is be good being in the Lord's house tonight, and appreciate the wonderful service this morning. Appreciate the liberty that the Lord give Brother Miller. And I was thinking of Sister Treva's prayer request while I go for Johnny. I'm glad he comes with Donna on Mother's Day. He don't come often. Maybe Mother's Day, sometimes Christmas, but he's not here very often. But you know what? He heard the truth this morning. He heard the truth. And I pray that the Lord would take that word and prick his heart, Donna, that he'd see his great need of salvation. And not just him, but Sister Susie's grandchildren and the rest of the grandchildren and the children and husbands and wives that have never been saved by the grace of God. Good message. Good evangelistic message to the lost. Wasn't nothing but truth. That kind of preaching got a hold of me. I thank the Lord for Brother Moran. Appreciate his humble prayer a while ago. His prayer for me. Appreciate his prayers when I was lost. And same with y'all, the prayers that went up for me when I was seeking the Lord. I thank you for that. I know your prayers don't save them, but it sure can bring the power of conviction down on a sinner. That they can get them in such a trouble that there's no other way to go but to Jesus. And that's the point, that's the way I got. There was no other way but to Jesus, the only way I was ever going to get relief. So I thank God for the preachers that have brought the gospel to me. I do ask for your prayers tonight. I'll be reading at the beginning of the second epistle of Peter, in the first chapter, 16th verse. And as I start reading, I will continue on through the second chapter. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we were made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellence glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you ye do well, that you take heed, and as into a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring a damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring up on themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow after their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. It says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, or spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And the turning of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered his lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to the punished, to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that are understood not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I apologize for the mistakes I've made. You know, beginning over here in the 16th verse, here we have Peter talking about the transgression, the transfiguration of Christ. When they went up on the mount, and, you know, he said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we were made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. The day that they went up onto the mount and Christ was transfigured, you know, that was a showing of his, it was a foreshadow of his second coming. And when they went up on the mount, there were two other people there that had done went on to be with the Lord. We have Moses, we have Elijah. And you know, the second coming, when it talks about Jesus coming back, it talks about those that are in the grave, that they shall rise. And those that are alive, that have been saved by the grace of God, and that's us that's been saved, that we're still living and we ain't gone back to the dust at which we cometh, that Elijah, I think, represents that individual. So we have two type of people here that Peter was able to witness the majesty of Christ, the King of all kings, and how he was glorified by God the Father, and the power that was in his hand. It wasn't a fable that was made up. He said, we saw this happen. And not only did he see these happen, and he just saw Moses and Elijah, but he heard the word of God speak, that this is my beloved son, who am I well pleased. Who is well pleased? And this ain't the first time that people heard God speak. You know, talking about Moses, I remember Moses going up and seeing the burning bush. And he heard the word of God speak to him. I've never really heard the audible voice from God or Jesus, but I have felt it in my heart, and I've heard that small voice, but these men heard it audibly. They heard it out loud. Just as the day that Jesus was baptized, that you know, it speaks that once again, God said, this is my beloved son who I am well pleased of. It wasn't a fable. It wasn't something that was made up. And I was looking in the Noah Webster Encyclopedia and dictionary, and it talked about the fables, and it talks about it just a soft way to say it's a lie. An easy way to say it's a lie, but a lie is a lie. It's false accusations. It's something that you try to make people believe that ain't real. Well, Peter, when he stood and preached and the other apostles stood and preached, they didn't make things up. They were told by the Word of God and led by the Word of God the things to preach and the things to say. I'm sure from time to time they spoke of things of their own, but they were still led by the Holy Spirit of God. And it tells in our scripture here about the prophets. It says we are a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed, and as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You know, prophecy was given by God to the prophets to tell the people of the things that were to come, the things that was going to happen. And it wasn't the actual event because it was talking about the future to come. And it talked about the light in darkness. You know, back in them days, they had lanterns or they had torches that when they were in the night, that they carried the lanterns and the torches to be able to see in the darkness. But they couldn't see everything wasn't illuminated, everything wasn't bright and light as the light of day, but it was just enough to give them where they could see where they were stepping, where they were walking, to find their way. And that's the way prophecy was. When God gave the prophecy to these prophets, it was just enough to give us in the right direction and what was going to happen and what was coming. But the future that was coming was just like the daylight. Just like the coming of Christ. There's going to be a day that we don't need the prophets and we don't need the teachers and we won't need the preachers. There's going to be a day coming that the second coming of Christ is coming back and we won't need that anymore. It will be just like today. We'll be able to see everything. We'll be able to know everything. That we won't need our little flashlights and just see a few steps that we're going to take. We're going to see it all and understand it all. Today, we don't understand it all. I can read God's Word and try to understand it, but I don't understand all of it. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't understand it all. And sometimes through my interpretation, I might make mistakes of understanding what God's Word says, and I don't want to mislead nobody in any way. I don't want to deceive anybody in any way. I want to try to teach, and I want to try to preach the true Word of God. And sometimes we do let ourselves stand in the way. And it says the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man. And holy man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Chapter 2 goes on and it talks about false prophets and teachers. And not so much that things I'm going to bring up tonight is not so much maybe about false prophets and teachers. Some of it is. But I think it's something that we can take and apply to our lives about what is going on in the world today. What our leaders of our nation, I appreciate Brother Moran's prayer about talking about our leaders and the things that's going on in the world today that's wrong. God cannot be happy of it. It's an abomination, it's heresies, it's whatever you want to call it, but it's wrong. It's everything against the Word of God and what God's Word teaches us. And that's what I want us to think about tonight. The things that are going on in this world, and not so much this world, but the sad thing is, that's what's going on in our own nation. A nation that once was a God-fearing nation. You know, Jesus talked about the false prophets. Said they were in sheep's clothing. You look at them today, of the things that's going on, the things that they say that they try to tickle our ears. Sometimes they're trying to do the things to please some of the people, not all the people, but please some of them. And it seemed like the ones they're trying to please and the direction they're wanting to go in is the wrong direction to be going. Jesus said they were in sheep's clothing, but they were raven wolves. That's what Jesus called them. And I think we can look at the things that are going on today, and I'm not going to call names, I don't have to. You can just look at the things that are happening today, that we have those that are in sheep's clothing, but they're as the wolves are. False teachers, who probably should bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring up on themselves swift destruction. You know, the things that they're trying to do and the things that they're trying to pass, it's going to bring up swift destruction. Not just on them, but even as our nation. I believe it's going to bring swift destruction upon our nation. Because of the things that are getting done. You know, we pray to God, and that's what we need to do. But you know what? A nation as a whole, we're becoming a minority of it, it seems like. We're becoming a minority of it. We're not the majority anymore. And when it comes to voting, and when it comes to election, and when it comes to passing laws, the majority rules. The majority rules. And Brother Dallas talked about in the Bible class, I don't know if it was today or last Sunday, but talked about Israel wanting a king just like the other nations wanted. You know, because Israel didn't have a king at the time, but all these other nations and other countries, they had kings. It wasn't the best thing for Israel. They didn't need a king. God rather not have given them a king, but you know what? He gave them what they were asking for. And I think they paid the price for it. But you know the sad thing is, as a majority of our nation, we're asking for the wrong things. And you know what? God can give it to us. And you know what? We're going to suffer from it. We're going to suffer from it. And you think about the second coming of Christ. That's why Christ is coming back to start with. Because if you look at the things that's going on in the world today and the things that's going on in our nation, that's why he's coming back. But you know what? I'm so glad and I thank the Lord that I'm saved. I'm glad that I was born of the blood, that I was born of the Spirit, that I'm covered by that blood. But you know what our concern is and what we're worried about is our loved ones and our friends that have never been able to stand and give that testimony of salvation. Christ is coming. It's not a fable. It's not a story that was made up. It's the true Word of God. And he talked about how they're through, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And we can continue on here. It says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them, listen to this, it says, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. For those that live ungodly. And we all know the story of the great flood and how God destroyed the world with water and the eight souls that was saved that we read about Noah being the eighth person. And how God delivered Lot from those wicked cities. How he delivered me. How he saved my soul. But we think about what was going on when the world was destroyed by water. And when we think about the things that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. People, we're there today. We're there today. And you know what? It's growing by leaps and bounds. Growing by leaps and bounds. But we got to keep striving. We got to keep chugging along. We got to keep trying to bring them in. We got to keep preaching the truth. We got to keep preaching the gospel. We got to keep preaching Jesus. That our friends and our loved ones might be saved. Because of Christ's second coming. It might sound like that I dislike the homosexuals, that I hate them because of their wanting to do this same-sex marriage. And you know what? Here we have our vice president and our president. Some people recognize them as the most powerful man in the world. That they look at our nation and our leaders of our nation as being the most powerful man in the world. And you know what? Everybody in the world is looking and listening what our president has said. Believe it. He has magnified an abomination that is wrong. And he's our leader of our nation. That is sad. Some might disagree with me about what I'm saying, but I'm trying to tell you the truth, that it's wrong, it's an abomination, and it's against what God stands for. And it might sound like that I hate these people, these homosexuals. Don't get me wrong, I do not hate them. I hate what they stand for, and I hate for what they try to do, and what and their agendas. I don't like that. I dislike it. But I don't hate them as individuals. They're sad. They are. But we need to love them. And we need to pray for them. That they'd get saved. And change their ways. But I dislike what they stand for. God dislikes what they stand for. God dislikes what our leaders are standing for. It's not right. It is not right. But you know what? If it keeps going in the direction it's going in, it's going to be other things. And the true word of God is going to continue to be watered down and watered down and watered down and watered down to the point that God is going to say, enough is enough. And we're going to see our Lord and Savior coming out of the clouds, just as he ascended up to heaven to be with his Father. The first chapter of Acts, it tells us when he was standing there with his apostles, and he ascended up to be with his Father. And right now, I believe with all my heart that he's on the right hand of God right now. And believe me, they're all omnipotent. They know everything that's going on. We can't hide nothing from God. We can't hide nothing from Jesus. They know exactly what's happening in this country right now. Is it all doom and gloom? For some it is. For some it is. Because no matter how much we preach and how much we teach and tell them that those that are lost, that need to be saved, they still are going to reject the Word of God. And it's doom and gloom for them. But not for me. And I hope it's not for you. If there's one among you out here tonight, then it's not going to be doom for you. That you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're right with God. Without a shadow of a doubt that you can go back in that time and place where God spoke sweet peace to your heart. We have false teachers. We have false preachers out there today that are telling people things that ain't right. We have churches, if you want to call them churches. I don't really call them churches, but they call themselves churches. And you have ministers that call themselves ministers of God that agree with this homosexual acts and agree with this same-sex marriage. Well, I tell you what, my Bible don't teach that it's right. It don't teach that it's right. Church, we're living in perilous times. As I've heard Brother Moran say many, many times, that we're living in perilous times. Times are rough. Times are getting bad. But as God's people, as the church, we got to get busy. And I've come up short on that. I failed my Lord miserably. You know what? I can't look at your hearts, and I don't want to judge you or anything in any way, but you know what? If we all look at ourselves, every one of us are probably guilty. Every one of us is probably guilty. Church, don't be caught up in the false teachings. Don't get caught up in the heresies. You know, people do get pulled into that. Saved people get pulled into that. You know, Peter was talking to the Christians. He wasn't so much talking to the lost in these scriptures that I read. He was talking to those that professed to be Christians. And that he was warning them of these things. Not to get caught up into it. Not to be get pulled in by this heresy and the false teachings. If you don't believe it, that it ain't happening today, here just maybe today, I don't know, my mind can't keep up with time anymore, but I think it was this morning that Brother Wheat was talking about the churches at one time that were sound, churches that we could fellowship with, that their altar practices were sound, but they've strayed away. They've gone in a completely different direction. And they're teaching heresies. They're teaching false doctrine. They're not teaching the true Word of God. And what happened? Lay that those that come in that was teaching heresy and false doctrines, just pull them away. Didn't happen all at once, but gradually it just creeps in and creeps in and creeps in. And you know what? We as God's people, we can let sin do that in our lives, that we can get caught up into the world, that we let sin creep in and to the point that we're not serving God and that we're not magnifying God like we should, we're not doing a bit of good in that shape. We got to push the things of the world away, and it's difficult. Seem like, I'm going to say more than it's ever been, but that's probably not true because people got caught up in it before so much that God had to destroy the world before. And you know what? He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. Church, we need to be praying for our nation in a mighty way. That we don't put in office so much of what the people want, but what our nation needs. That we might become a nation that God can look upon. And I don't know so much it would be the word be proud of us or what, but that we'd be a nation that would be pleasing in His eyes because of what we're doing and what we're living, that we're serving the Almighty God in the right way, the true and living God. And that, you know what? That we'll all be ready for Christ's second coming. Not just us, but our loved ones and our friends. And you know what? I don't want to be a selfish person. There are people I don't even know that I hope they get saved, because I don't want nobody to be damned and sent to hell. That we all, one day after a while, when we depart this life as we know it, that heaven will be our home. That place that Brother Miller talked about, that the Lord has gone away, preparing a mansion. And in our minds, in our worldly minds, we think of a mansion of being filled with beautiful and great things. But you know what? I believe if you interpret that and study it, I think it really means more than anything, it's we're going to have a dwelling place. We're going to have a place to live. You know what? When I get to heaven, I'm not going to need the riches of this world the way we think of it in our mind. I'm going to see that jewel. I'm going to see that perfect jewel, that great jewel. He's been called a lot of things. I don't know if he's ever been called a jewel or not. But I'm going to be surrounded with perfectness, my Lord and Savior. God bless you. God help you.